would like to speak about basic principles on the funding of public broadcasting. And during the last decade, the financial situation of the European public service broadcasters has been relatively stable. With a total average of 60% of all revenues, the radio and TV license fee is still its most important source of revenue. Advertising revenue comprises around approximately 20%. Other sources of revenue, such as merchandising or the sale of program rights, take a third place. 7% of the total revenue finally are drawn directly from state budget. Recently, however, pressure on this existing funding system has been mounting. There are several reasons for this. First, advertising revenue in broadcasting is on the decline as a result of the current economic and financial crisis, as well as of the growing importance of online opportunities for the advertising industry. Commercial broadcasting providers are therefore lobbying for an advertising veto in public broadcasting in order to safeguard their own financial stability. This was a significant factor, I think, in France's decision to abolish advertising in the public broadcasting system. Insofar as the public broadcasters themselves depend on advertising revenue to a significant extent, alternative financial possibilities must be looked into. As a result, the government subsidies have been increased, for example, in Spain. Developments in the field of convergence future heighten the pressure towards change. Television sets are no longer the sole receiver of the television program, and it can be replaced by a multitude of devices, such as personal computers, mobile phones, iPads, and so on. As a result, the levy of the compulsory radio and TV fee, which traditionally is inseparably linked with the ownership of a television set, has become increasingly difficult. It is obvious that for more and more states, a reform of the existing funding model has become inevitable. Under these circumstances, it is necessary to examine the basic principles which govern the funding of these public service broadcasters. In the first place, they are seen as putting into practice the basic rights to freedom of broadcasting. This right is, as you know, anchored in the constitutions of the member states of the European Union and in the European Fundamental Rights Convention. Article 11 of the Charter of Fundamental Rights, which the Lisbon Treaty has made legally binding for all member states, guarantees explicitly the freedom and plurality of the media shall be respected. In the last decades, one can say common European law has evolved from those legal foundations which must be taken into account when new funding models for public broadcasting are being created. Furthermore, the member states must follow the significations laid down in the European laws on subsidies and governmental aid. At the moment, the national constitutional courts, as well as the European Court of Human Rights, are the authoritative interpreters of the freedom of broadcasting. In their jurisdiction, they set out the consequences which the freedom of broadcasting implies for the funding of public broadcasters. In the following, I will be shown that these consequences follow from the remit of public broadcasting. Then the relevant specifications in European law, and in particular the laws relating to subsidies and governmental aid, will be dealt with. Finally, I will discuss how even in the age of convergence, the legal requirements made on a funding system can still be met. First, to the requirements resulting from the freedom of broadcasting. Broadcasting is of central importance to the intellectual climate and to the free and open discussion in any democratic state. I think that's common knowledge here. Radio and television supplement the role of the traditional printing media. The broadcaster's functions as formers and interpreters of public opinion can scarcely be overestimated. Their widespread impact, their topicality, and their suggestive force make them so effective. European constitutional courts recognized these correlations very early. They recognized a pluralistic media landscape to be one of the fundamental values in which their constitutions are based. In this context, I would like to quote the European Court of Human Rights on its famous Lencia judgment from the year 1993. The court states, I quote, "The court has frequently stressed the fundamental role of freedom of expression in a democratic society, in particular where it serves to impart information and ideas of general interest with the public is moreover entitled to receive. Such an undertaking cannot be successfully accomplished unless it is grounded in the principle of pluralism, of which the state is the ultimate guarantor. This observation is especially valid in relation to audiovisual media whose programs are often broadcast very widely." The European constitutional courts therefore see broadcasting not just as a medium informing of public opinion. It is much more than this. It is an eminent factor informing and interpreting public opinion. Its function is to guarantee the freedom of individual and public expression. This function can only be fulfilled when neither state nor private bodies dominate the broadcasting sector. Therefore, the legal system must arrange for that in broadcasting the variety of opinions expressed is as broad and complete as possible. In this way, comprehensive information shall be offered to the audience. Putting this mandate into practice, governments throughout Europe decided on a dual structure of commercial and public broadcasting. The ground task, if you like, of public broadcasting is to ensure the what we call basic services. This entails the provision of broadcasting to the whole population, the organization of comprehensive program and safeguarding of a diversity of opinion within this program. In order to fill these duties in a functional way, the public broadcasters are entitled to gain proper financing from the state. That means that they have a constitutional right to receive all the funding necessary for the fulfillment of their task. Necessity is the criterion which allows balancing the public broadcaster's program freedom against the financial interests of the license fee payers. In this way, public broadcasting is not limited to a minimal program which is determined externally. It must be rather have the freedom to fulfill its guarantees task in its own way. On the other hand, the public broadcasters must be restrained from expanding their programs as they see fit. This would result in automatic increases of the subsidies to which they would be entitled. Therefore, the criterion of necessity is of dynamic nature. In this way, it is justified to adapt and adjust the amount of funding in regular intervals. What is necessary for public broadcasting to fulfill this task cannot be defined once and for all. Rather, it is dependent on the particular circumstances. These essentially entail technical development, changing consumer behavior, and the changing business models of the commercial providers, which whom the public broadcasters must be able to compete. What has to be secured is independence of independence from state influence. The freedom of designing broadcasting program is the essential factor in guaranteeing broadcasting freedom in general. It entails resisting any attempts to manipulate broadcasting for outside purposes. The broadcasters alone must be entitled to decide on what is necessary to fulfill their mandate. Therefore, all attempts at political instrumentalization must be forbidden. Government bodies must be kept from indirect or direct interference. Attempts at influencing the program or to pressure staff of the broadcasters must be made impossible. It is therefore obvious that Parliament, government, or even the government party alone must not decide as to the amount of financial support public broadcasters receive. The question of programming freedom is closely linked to the question of financial support. If Parliament, for example, enjoyed unrestricted freedom in their decision of financial support, there would be a permanent danger that this power could be misused to manipulate program content or media politics. On the other hand, public broadcasting cannot solely rely on advertising revenue. This would mean a serious threat to the realization of a program which fulfills the public broadcasting mandate. For the advertising economy's point of view, the effectiveness of advertising in broadcasting depends on how attractive the program is. This factor is measured according to audience rating. If a broadcaster depends on advertising income, it must strongly consider audience rating. This constraint would mean that public broadcasters could no longer cope with its mandate to provide diversity of program and opinion. The necessity to limit economic constraints does not inevitably mean that other sources of funding, in particular advertising, must be excluded generally. On the contrary, mixed funding mutually limits potential dependence on the state or the economy. Thus, the program freedom is strengthened. Advertising may be a valuable contribution in guaranteeing public broadcasting mandate. The sale of even relative short advertising spots may supply a large share of funding needs. In spite of this advantage, advertising should, considering its effect on content and diversity, never be a dominant source of income. Public broadcasters are not even obliged to permit advertising at all. The only decisive factor is an adequate funding. Being independent from the state and from the advertising economy is a condition that must be guaranteed by suitable procedures for the fixation of funding. It must be kept in mind that neither broadcasters nor the legislative body should be allowed into a position where they could unilaterally determine the funding needs of public broadcasters. The broadcaster cannot adequately guarantee that the funding they request, which after all must be provided by the fee payers, is the minimum they need to fulfill their mandate. Broadcasters have, like all institutions, a tendency to expansion and self-assertion, which can develop away from the mandate that they have received. This would especially be true under the circumstances of competition with private broadcasters. Those enjoy more freedom in their procurement of revenue and in the structuring of their programs. If, however, the legislator or the government were allowed to decide on adequate amount of funding without restriction, they would be in possession of a powerful instrument. In this way, they would be all in a position to indirect or direct influence the program structure by withdrawing or curtailing money. Therefore, this is a strong need for an independent procedure for the fixation of the funding amount. One possible method could be, as you all know, indexation. Another possibility would be to delegate the procedure to a committee of experts. This method to use committees of experts is used in the German process. We have the so-called KEF Commission, zur Ermittlung des Finanzbedarfs, and you basically use three steps. The broadcasters come and ask for money. The second step is that the KEC checks and recalculate the sums that the broadcasters mean to use. And the third process is that Parliament has to ratify this proposal. However, there are limits of the parliamentary decision. They can just sort of control that the committee has been worked properly, but they cannot use this fixation process as a method to influence political debates. We can come to this later if there is a need to discuss this procedure in detail. If you look at these current developments, you can see that there are reforms that are, I guess, I should say that they are critical. If you look at France or Spain, I think that government sort of takes over and fixes the broadcasting fee much more than in the past. They also try to get money out of the telecommunications business. If you do this, you have a stronger state influence than before. I think that is very critical. If you look at this notion that the broadcasting system has to be free from the state. So I think the new methods have to be sort of scrutinized, whether this notion of broadcasting freedom is still valid or whether there is an infringement. But I think one has to make a detailed analysis of the funding regulations, whether there are any constitutional problems or not. Let's look at the European level and look at the state aid issue, I think a little bit briefer than what I explained before, because the next speech will deal with these EU issues. In the European law level, we have a basic difference from the past. First of all, if you look at the Lisbon Treaty, the notion of pluralism has been recognized now as primarily law, EU law, which is most important. And we have the Amsterdam Treaty that secures public broadcasting financing. This is also primarily European law. So the legal basis for funding is pretty solid, I have to say. The question starts now if the Commission uses state aid laws. And as you know, state aid in principle is prohibited. We had a lot of cases in front of the Commission, and in general, at least in the German case, the Commission argued that our broadcasting license fee is state aid, but it could be justified under specific circumstances. The basic point for the Commission is that the license fee is not an overcompensation, so that means that you get too much money. You just should get the money that is necessary for your mandate, for fulfilling your remit. If you get more, it's an overcompensation. That's not allowed. So this is exactly what the Commission proves. In practice, the decisions of the Commission, at least in the German case, are problematic if it comes to online services. Because here the Commission starts to control what sort of online services are allowed or not. In this famous three-step tests, they force upon all member states. The broadcasters have exactly to argue the pro and cons of a new online service. And if you limit, if you like, the remit, then you limit the fees that are necessary to fulfill this remit. This approach the Commission has taken is somehow problematic. I think it's problematic because this three steps test is a monster. Yeah, it costs a lot of money. I think that the outcome of these three steps tests are minor compared to the costs. And I also think that if the Commission starts to sort of establish three steps tests, it is also it's an infringement of broadcasting freedom, and one has to this approach to do it very careful. That's most important. I think at least in Germany we will look at these three steps tests in the next month, and then I think one should evaluate this new method and should really discuss whether this is a legitimate approach or not. If it is not a legitimate case, then I think it would be the task for the courts actually to balance the interests of broadcasting freedom and the freedom of competition. I think what is most important, at least for the German debate, is that our constitutional court recently ruled that there is something like a central core of authority of the German state that has to be sort of be kept from the German power. It cannot be transformed and transferred to Europe. And the court argued that the broadcasting order is part of this central court of power. This central part of power where only the German state can decide what is going on. So if the Commission starts to intervene into this core of media regulation and media order, it can easily happen that our German constitutional court steps in and argues that the Commission has no power in this area anymore and that the German constitutional freedom overrules EU law. I think that what would be the beginning of dissolving Europe, that what we can observe with the euro at the moment, but I think it cannot be ruled out, and the Constitutional Court is very critical at the moment if it comes to transfer too much power to the European level. So one has to be very careful in this area. Let's come to my last point, that is the problem of license fees in the convergence area. In the convergence era. I think the problem is pretty clear to everybody. Traditionally, license fees had to be paid if somebody possesses a TV set. We have more and more these modern devices that I see on your tables, like iPods and other and computers and the like. Usually, these devices and receivers have the task to phone or to type or to surf in the web, but you can also look TV or hear radio with them. And the problem is now whether you can get license fees out of these new devices. At least in Germany, the young generation does not accept this approach. They resist to pay license fees. At least in my university, we had almost a basic democratic movement against the public broadcasting license. We are from Münster, not from big cities like you, Mr. Hein. So we had problems, and we have lots of court decisions from very high courts which are not clear. So one court argues that it is possible to get a license fee. The other court argues in the opposite direction. So it's not really clear how this can be resolved, in fact. Today it's somehow of a strange day because one of our colleagues will publish a legal document and a legal research, and he will sort of figure out whether new ways of license fees or financing is possible or not. So I guess in Berlin now at this time he will show the world what is the real model for Germany or not. So it is politically a very, very hot potato. I think all public broadcasters are somehow nervous. But I guess we already know somehow of the solutions, and they are basically, I think, three models, and you probably know them too. How to deal now with this convergence era? First of all, you can make a minimal reform, first model. So I call this model minimum reform model. One can just keep the existing model, but one stop differentiating between TV sets, radio sets, and other sets. One just increases the license fee a little bit so that the new devices are sort of covered. This approach, I think, has been taken by France, if I'm now not wrong. Yes. The second model would be a fee for households and for places of business. That is the second model, and in this way, one would not charge one person, one would not charge a TV set, one would just argue we charge a household, we charge a business place, because we just assume that they use some of these media devices. Third model would be something like a capitation fee that would be basically a tax on each citizen. It's more a tax model. In Germany, I think we are basically, we will choose, I'm pretty sure, the second model. As I said, in France, they voted for the first model, and I think we will learn here during the conference about the situation in Finland, because they were the first and only country also choosing for the second model, means household and business fee. However, if I understand it right, Finland stopped the implementation of this model in the last minute. Why, I don't know, but I think we have a speaker here from Finland, and it would be at least for Germany, very important to know why the Finns stopped that, because that could have an important effect on the internal debate here. If you change your models, I would sort of at the end like to mention one issue that is again an issue of state aid. We have at least in Germany, it is feared that we will have another scrutiny of the Commission, because when they first looked at our license fee, it was very critical whether they would allow the financing or not allow them. And what is most important from the legal point of view is whether we can argue that the new model would be an old state aid. Because if we could argue this is an old state aid, we have this, we know how it works, you know this, it's not necessary to prove it again, then it would be easy to change from one method to the other. But if the Commission would argue, no, this is a new state aid, and they would start to scrutinize again, then we would be again in a mess, because I guess nobody would know what the results would be. There would be a lot of insecurity. So this is a basic legal issue that comes up if you or if we change these financing models. I think the most important thing, whatever we do, is that we sort of respect these basic principles I was focusing on. I think if you implement license fees, you have also to observe lots of administrative issues. You mentioned these at the beginning. The procedure has to be effective. Your computer system must work, and so on. I didn't mention this in my speech now. What I would like to point out is that the starting point has to be something like a common European law of broadcasting freedom. I know that this changes from country to country, but they are basically basic principles that have to be sort of observed in Europe. This is, I guess, independence from the state, independence from business, trying to find a procedure that is somehow neutral, so that your fixation process is sort of free from governmental influence. That is at least the constitutional aim that has to be fulfilled. And you also have on the other side these EU rules on competition law, and these two basic principles and values have to be balanced. And I think the way how you balance is there is a lot of freedom for the member states, but at the end there are also limits. I try to sort of show a few of these limits, but this is, if you like, the room that we can fulfill here in our debate. Thank you very much.